When I fall, I got parachutes. When I fall, I got parachutes. When I fall, I got parachutes. When I fall, I got parachutes.
What you gonna say? What you gonna do? What you gonna say? Is what they say true? And all these questions, I make sure I am still on top. And all these questions, I make sure this train is hard to stop. No matter what I say or do, no matter the song or two, it's me you cannot drop. I'm in a parachute
up in the sky. I'm
in a parachute.
I'm soaring by.
Parachute.
I'm soaring by.
When I fall, I got parachutes. Politicize every song I sing. Tell you about a reality. You're living in a virtual reality. You're sucking on the tit that feeds you lies. Getting screwed by a system of ties to our demise. We are blamed. Why blame us? That's insane. All we know is pain. Control us for 300 years. Saw epitome of fears. In a machine that broke us. Made us get out of focus. Preacher told us stop that hocus pocus. Look what we had. Our culture was just a fad. What they didn't still do is sad. It makes me mad. Why be racist? It's made us faceless. Made us into your slaves. Land slaves for your wage. In this first world country, you're the entitled. Repeat and recycle. Put more money in guns. We make war to be free. We make war to be free.
Are we really?
Giving him my all, giving him my all. Gotta stand tall cause I'm giving him my all.
Hi, I'm Christina.
Hi, I'm Care.
I use she, her pronouns.
And my pronouns are he slash him.
And welcome to our new show called Wake the F Up.
So in this show, we're primarily going to be talking about feminist issues. And you might think that that's where the F comes from our title. But, you know, that might also be a word that we don't know the background to. Yeah, Christina, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, yeah. Our title is a little play on the fact that a lot of the times feminist is such a stigmatized word. It's this, the second you bring it up around some crowds, it's like you've, you know, uttered a really horrible, horrible
Seriously.
Thing.
Christina, and what the hell? Are you a feminist?
Oh my God. Do you hate all men?
Ugh, you bra-burning lesbian.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously.
For shame.
But yeah, in this show, we're just going to, before we begin, I guess, we're just going to talk a little bit about how we ourselves got into the whole feminist and social justice movements. And yeah, just to give a little bit of a background to why we're here and why we are talking about these issues. Because mainly we are angry and we don't want to continue in this world where people are just being oppressed. Christina, what's your background about feminism?
Okay, yeah, I was not always a feminist. So right around the time that I was starting university and everything leading up to that point, I definitely held a post-feminist kind of school of thought, which post-feminist, that's a it's a term that we use to describe this ideology that a lot of sort of, I guess, lay people to the subject will kind of subscribe to.
Mm-hmm.
So a post-feminist basically believes that in our society where we live, we don't really need feminism anymore. That's something that is an old issue. We're done with that. We don't really, basically the common argument they'll use is like, well, in other parts of the world, sure, they still need it. But here we're good. Mm-hmm. Women have jobs.
Women can vote.
Yeah,
right?
Women can vote.
They can drive.
That's all they need, really. That's just.
Yeah, and honestly, it's a little backward thinking for calling someone a post modern feminist, or you know, and definitely I subscribe to that too, because that I relate to that because that's how I used to be too, because I'm from India, to give a little bit of background. So you can already tell that it's not, in some parts of India, it's already not a very safe environment for a lot of women because there's so much gendered crime. And yeah, I guess I'm a light-skinned brown boy. So growing up in India and being a cisgender male, I've always had privilege, you know, like just being light-skinned tone, not being dark, not being ridiculed for being dark. And I've always thought that, hey, I've always had this like sort of power imbalance wherever I live, and I never really thought too much about it because it was something that was so normalized. And yeah, my eyes were definitely open when I came to university too, when I started making friends from like different backgrounds and cultures and all the different races. And it was just so eye-opening that, oh my God, these disparities exist everywhere and something needs to be done to address this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I'm very glad for the experiences that I had that led me out of that post-feminist way of thinking. I don't know if it was the same with you. If it was, like, for me, it was my women's and gender studies classes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, so I, in my first year of university, which was in 2013, that is when I was really first exposed to feminist ideology. And it was a bumpy road. And initially, kind of the conversations would start. And I'm just like, I was still trying to resist for a substantial amount of time. But then, you know, the way that courses go, the origins of ideas are explained and the background is given and real life examples are made. And we spent a lot of time in that course. Actually, a lot of the writing assignments where we would learn about the current discourses and we would learn about these ideas that our society holds. And we would just kind of be like, oh, okay, well, this is this arbitrary thing. And then the assignment would be, so how does this relate to you in your life? And then you're really forced to think about it. Like, you're really, like, made to confront how it actually plays out in your life. And that really did it for me.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I took one intro class to women's and gender studies, and that was it for me.
Yeah.
That was enough to really open my eyes. And, you know, that also went in addition to all of the experiences that my friends have described to me. For example, like, I still have, like, female friends that work late nights. And just the fact that they tell me that they need to always check the back seats of their cars just to make sure that no one's in there.
Yeah, you were saying there was like a specific example of your friends.
Oh, definitely. Recently. And it happened so recently. And I just go my life without having to think about these things because I'm a cisgender male. And I don't face these oppressions the same way that women do. And the fact that there are still, you know, people saying that, well, what else do you want? Like, why are you still feminist? Like, do you just hate men? Do you want to be better than men? And as a man, I can, in fact, say that that is not the reality because I myself am a feminist. Am I giving women a pedestal to just be better than me? No. Mm-hmm. I think the entire movement has such a stigma around it just because this clouded perception that everything is fine and we're all okay and that gendered violence does not exist at all. And that is something that really, really needs to be addressed. And I think on this show, we're going to hit those points.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, people tend to, in my conversations with people in my life, friends in my life who don't, and I will say they don't understand feminism yet because one of their first points is that I'm being insensitive, according to them, or I'm being not caring enough about men's issues.
Basically, which is so ironic. Which is so ironic to me.
It's so incredibly ironic. So basically, we are made to spend so much time discussing with these people, explaining, they want us to sell it to them. They want us to explain it to them in a way that feels good to them. And mm-hmm. then if we say something that they don't like, then they just are completely comfortable with ignoring everything we've said. So it really doesn't get us very far to try to explain it. And actually back in a couple months ago, I was having a lot of these conversations. Like, I was having some coworkers at work that really love to talk to me about how much they think I'm going to change my mind about having children. And they really love to talk to me about how they knew all the answers to how to address sexual assault. I was just having a lot of these interactions in my life. So, if I could, I have this little rant that I wrote at the time that I'd like to share with you.
Oh, go off, sis.
Yeah. There's a canyon of disconnect between feminists and those who choose to ignore social justice issues. For those of you who consider yourselves non-feminists, when you chime into a discussion, when you choose to engage with a feminist on the rights of minorities, have you considered that we've heard everything you're saying? When you demand to be listened to and demand that everyone's opinion matters, Have you considered that one of the many reasons we reject your words is that it's boring and repetitive? That we've heard it 1,000 times before? For every woman that speaks up and says, "This is what men in my life have done to me," there are 1,000 men chiming in to say, "Not all men, you know? You shouldn't make broad generalizations." Do you want to know why we say all men? Because if you are a man, you do need to look into yourself, no matter what. If you believe that you are doing sufficient work in advocating for social justice and equality, you're wrong. If you believe in equality, there's always work to do, and the first step is looking into yourself. As a white, able-bodied woman, cis woman, I will always have work to do in combating internalized racism, ableism, and other forms of ignorance towards marginalized groups. Let that sink in. It doesn't matter that I've immersed myself in an activist community. It does not matter how much work I do for social justice. I will always have more to do. So you, sitting there and demanding that we clarify, not all men, likely believing that you're one of the exceptions, honey, you're not. You're part of the problem. If we are standing on two sides of the canyon, every time one woman says, "I feel unsafe walking home at night," at the other side of the canyon, there are 1,000 voices screaming back, "Men are more likely to be victims of violent crimes. Mm-hmm. Men don't have it so easy. We can't show our emotions. You say you're for equality, but why do you hate men so much?" You'll keep shouting it over and over. It bounces off the canyon walls. The echo chamber that has been going on for eternity. You'll do everything you can just to hear us say you're right, feel good about yourself, and walk away. It's amazing to me, honestly. You think you're blowing us away with these arguments. Every time you bring up some point, every time you nitpick, every time you think you astonish us with your intellect. I don't care how special or specific you think your argument is. They all follow a pattern, and we, as marginalized individuals, we see the pattern. And you don't. In your everyday life, you simply don't. You don't see how many others are parroting back the same nonsense you think is so original. You don't see the toll it takes on us. The boredom. The exasperation. Imagine you are a nuclear physicist, and every time you speak of the intricacies of your work, there are 1,000 voices shouting back, "Hey, did you know electrons have negative charges?" Like, thank you. So the next time you see us as frustrated and say that you're not all the special snowflakes that you think you are, this is why. The next time you see us not wanting to engage in your petty argument, this is why. There is a world of knowledge out there that you are actively ignoring and demanding that we spoon-feed to you what we know. And then you immediately try to tear it down. Over and over and over. So, the next time you're about to chime in to some feminist discussion and try to make it about you, whether you're trying to make it about men's rights or your own need to steal the discussion and make it about your own feeling good, maybe flippin' don't.
I am speechless.
Yeah.
No one could have said it any better. Like, I truly, truly, truly believe how much work me, as a man, I still have left to do. And it'll never be enough because I have led this life of, I mean, yes, I'm oppressed. Yes, I have to deal with racism sometimes on a daily basis. And you know, sometimes I normalize that. And I got my own problems. You know what I mean?
Of course.
But that doesn't mean that I am oppressed to a point where I still don't have any privilege, you know? Like, there's so much privilege that I, as an able-bodied cis male, and I hold so much privilege. And if I am not working hard enough to make this a world where other people feel the same way as I do, then my entire work is garbage, you know? And not to say that... this is not to say that people who are already working towards things, they don't matter. Of course they do. And literally, there's not enough appreciation that can be put out for you because you matter and you are making a change in this world. But I definitely agree, you know, when people say, not all men. Well...
Yes.
Yes. Yes, all men.
That is a cue for you to look into yourself.
Exactly.
Because we all have work to do. All of us. And like, whether you're privileged or oppressed, we all have work that we can do. And of course, being mindful of the fact that if you're oppressed and you're marginalized, like, care should be taken to, you know, like, you need to focus on your self-care because the whole world is literally against you.
Seriously. And this is also to say that I own up to my mistakes from the past. I've definitely had sexist attitudes before. Have I perpetuated transphobia or homophobia at some point? Probably. I don't remember what the instances were, but I'm sure that I'm not exempt from this. You know, I'm not this activist model who people should aspire to be because I do all this work. We all come from places where, you know, we live in our bubbles and we're ignorant to certain issues, and that's fine. But if you are not unpacking yourself and your privilege and really putting in work towards these issues, then that's a problem. If and this is something that I think I saw in one of my women's and gender studies classes, where if you sit back and just say, well, I am not perpetuating any crime and I am exempt from, you know, doing anything about it, and I'm already making this place a nice, or I'm making this place, this world a nice place for everyone because I'm not harassing women or doing things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm fine because I don't do these things. Well, you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're still a part of the problem. What are you doing to stop these instances of violence? Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Inaction is complacency, because then you're not challenging the people who are in power, and the people who are in power are perpetuating this oppression.
Seriously, and you can't just sit back and say, well, this doesn't affect me, because at some point, it affects everyone. And to go back to what Christina was saying about, you know, talking about feminism and making it a feel-good factor for everyone to kind of have it digested, like, it's so ridiculous to me that even me as a male, when I have to defend my feminist thoughts, I have to say, well, what do you mean, like, women are trying to be better than us? That's not true. This affects men as well. I don't think that there's literally any reason for people to need an incentive to start being more attracted towards feminist thoughts. I don't think that men should get an incentive that, well, this harms men also. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, we're going to talk about toxic masculinities in our show. We're going to talk about how men can benefit from feminism, but that shouldn't be an incentive that is set in place for men to believe, well, I guess if it benefits me, then I should look into this. I should maybe look into social justice.
Yeah.
And this whole discourse about, well, toxic masculinities and things like that, where people reject it and say, well, I don't want to be not masculine. I don't want to be feminine. And this whole, like, you know, stigmatization of toxic masculinities, where they think that we're attacking actual masculinities. I think that it's all just redundant. Like, this shouldn't be an incentive provided to men to go ahead and save women from being attacked by the patriarchy that has been happening historically so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we are not required to try to sell to you why you should be interested in the basic human rights of all people. It's not just one group of people. This is literally pushing for the equality of everyone. And yes, actually, feminists are very much interested in the dismantling of gender roles that that really have negative consequences for all genders, including men. There are societal expectations that men are not supposed to show emotions. Men are supposed to be angry and domineering and all these things. And of course, that has negative effects for men. But that doesn't mean that we need to bring that up and sugarcoat everything and try to talk about that to an excess to make this appealing for you. Yes, this is an issue, but the fact that people are demanding that we bring this up every single time we talk about our own issues, it's like, well, who is this really about? Do you actually care? Like,
seriously, what a great point. Yeah, who is this about? Does this, like, how are you being affected if I am fighting for my own rights? Mm-hmm. I seriously will never understand this mentality. Yeah. I know where it comes from. I know where it stems from. But how it comes into its entirety, I'll never guess. I guess I'll never know. And mm-hmm. I guess that's the work we need to put in to really dismantle these mentalities and, you know, go get into more progressive thinking. And yeah, and one of the things that you touched too about who is this about? Like, and this happens in anti-LGBTQ work as well. Like the whole, well, why should my kids be subjected to gay characters? They're going to turn gay.
Subjected to gay characters.
Seriously.
What? Wow, well, what a tragedy.
I'm sorry to say, but your kids are not going to turn gay.
My goodness. Well, you're subjecting us to your straight life. So
yeah.
Like, well, how about that?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so afraid that my kid's going to grow up, and if they choose to be a binary cis woman and that's what the life they lead, and I'm so afraid that they're gonna say, oh my god, I really want to date a man. I'm gonna be so upset if that happens. Christ,
I feel for you,
because you know, they shouldn't get the right to choose at all. They shouldn't love who they love, you know. I mean, wow, the straight agenda, truly.
I know. What are they up to next?
Gosh, nuclear families? I don't know.
Literally attacking the fabric of this country.
I know. Yeah. So if you haven't felt the vibe yet, these are the things that we're going to be talking about on our show. And we're super excited. And we also want to acknowledge that we're not perfect. We make mistakes too.
Absolutely.
And as Christina mentioned, there's literally nowhere for us to stop. We need to continue to talk about these issues. We need to do our part in addressing these issues, and a large part of it is also learning. So if anyone ever has anything to say to us, please don't be afraid. Yeah. Again, we also want to say that we're not here to entertain people who want to challenge feminism.
No.
Because that takes away a lot of time from our activism and our lives already as students.
Yeah.
And we're not here to do that. We're
exactly.
not here to
watch. Even that will be, they'll be like, well, don't you care about free speech? Oh, honey, we've heard it all before.
Oh, boy.
If, reference to 20 minutes ago when we're talking about how we've literally heard all of your arguments.
Seriously.
But really, we should try to soon set up some kind of forum of communication where people can, you know, throw in suggestions or criticisms.
Yeah.
I mean, if it involves any person who is, you know, of the post-feminist or anti-feminist school of thought, it's up to us whether or not we're going to respond to that, because as we've just mentioned, we both came from there. So if you think you're astounding us with your intellect, I can almost assure you that we've seen your argument before. So
I think I would go ahead and say I definitely assure you that we have heard it all, and we're not going to waste too much time on that. However, if you have any questions or anything, we're definitely going to be here to answer those questions. But yeah, we're just tired.
Yeah.
We're just so tired.
Well,
I mean, what are we asking for too much here? Are we at, like, human rights?
Basic human rights?
Equality?
Every single person should have basic human rights? Is that really, like...
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know where this stems from. I don't know why it's so hard for us to demand that. But here we are ranting about it on UMFM because this is a good outlet.
Absolutely. So we have a couple minutes left here. I guess there's a few things that we could have touched on, but... I guess I am actually curious to hear about maybe some stories in your life, Care, where you or friends that you've had have faced difficulties with having to live up to the expectation of toxic masculinity.
Oh, boy. Well, let me tell you. Well, coming from like a traditional Indian family, too, there were so many expectations. Well, and my parents have become a little more progressive because they have rebellious child.
Oh, yeah.
So they definitely have learned a little more. But just growing up, these expectations of always getting into sports or always getting into fields that were more dominated by men, you know, like this expectation was always there. When I first came here, I was, well, I don't want to say forced, but I was definitely forced into taking biology or like sciences, you know, to keep up that Indian male tradition, like of being in computers or things like that. And do not have the brains for that. That's not how I'm wired at all. I cannot do that. I took one class, got a C, was like, well, see ya.
Peace out.
And that was it for me.
Yeah.
And it took a while for my parents to understand that, you know, like, that I can actually make a living if I do a degree in arts. And that's
Absolutely.
A concept lost on a lot of people.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were these things that I had to tackle to get to where I am right now. And they still sometimes have a hard time understanding why I'm associated with groups like Justice for Women and, you know, why I call myself a feminist, which is, you know, it takes a while to unlearn these things that you've lived your entire lives with, but they're getting there.
Yeah. And there's actually one aspect of that I'm really curious about that I really see as a recurring theme in the lives of, you know, the lives of men in my life that I, you know, that I care about, people that I would really consider family. A thing that I hear over and over is that a lot of men just don't have support systems in their lives to talk about their feelings like a lot of women do.
Absolutely, because they're taught to. They're taught to not have those support systems, right?
Exactly.
Because I still remember when I first, like, was learning how to ride a bike, and I fell down, and I was bleeding through my knees, and it really hurt. And I was like, what? I don't know what age that is when you learn to first take off your training wheels.
Yeah.
But I remember my friend who was, like, older than I am, and she was teaching me to ride the bike. She was teaching me, and she said to me that, what are you talking? Why are you crying? Men don't cry. Boys don't cry.
Oh, my goodness. How? And you were just, like, little kid.
And I was a little kid, you know, and that's one of the first things that we learn. And even as girls, like, they're taught to be the only people that can cry over things. And, you know, and I still remember her clearly saying to me, what are you, a girl?
Oh, my goodness.
And it was just so ridiculous to me. And these things that were ingrained, right? Like, that are ingrained in us.
And it follows you.
Yeah, it truly does. Man, last semester, I was suffering from an eating disorder and starvation and generalized anxiety disorder.
Yes. And I'm sorry to hear that.
It's fine. Like, I can talk about it openly, and I'm fine now because I found my support system. I found the help that I needed. And just because of the way I grew up and where I grew up, it was just like hard for me to accept that I had a problem, that something was not okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, and we talk about how it's okay to not be okay, but we also need to get that help, right? And when we teach men that you are stronger than this, that you are not a woman, you need to man up and I don't know, like, where are your balls, you know? Like,
grow a pair,
seriously. Yeah. And it's so hard to get into these systems where I can get help for myself, you know?
Absolutely.
And I see that with so many men. So many men are hesitant to accept help from anywhere.
Yeah, definitely. I think a huge thing that we'll want to talk about on this show is that regardless of who you are. Well, not regardless of who you are, but basically all people should have access to support systems. All people should have emotional support. They should have their basic needs met. And that's really what we're standing for on this show. And that's all the time that we have for this time around. But we're so excited to chat with you next week. And we're excited for how, you know, the weeks to come are going to go.
I am very pumped. I'm very pumped that we have an outlet to really talk about these things. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Kerr.
Thanks, Christina.
Hold on. I will stay strong and hold on. It won't be too long till the storm passes. Then the rain dries, just like the tears in your eyes. Life can give you a surprise, bad and good. And in the hood, the pressure is high. I understand the pressure you had. Man, you was our dad. Lost a child, I can't imagine. Left a wife, bills were racking. Four daughters, a mother and a brother. We still love you and still get blue. But I know how you would want us. It's hard, it still haunts us. I stay strong, not 'cause of me.